Okay, so have you had a good week? Yeah? It's Christmas. You made it, folks. We've got a bit to go, but we're nearly there. Yeah, so we've been this year. What a year it has been. What a year it has been. Yeah, there's many. Some people have got new lives and freedom. Some people have all sorts of changes. We've changed building. We've all sorts. But I was just reflecting on the year. What a year it has been. What a year. And this our church, we've been going through the book of Acts. And we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and boldness and all the stuff that we've been doing. And it's been amazing. The Bible is good, isn't it? How can Christianity be boring? The Bible is good. But I thought, seeing as it's Christmas, I better look a little bit at something to do with Christmas. I can't quite stay in the book of Acts. But it's really, really interesting that so many of the themes and the things that we looked at Acts come out in the same way. So, I want you to turn in your Bibles. It's easy, this one. The beginning of the New Testament, or your iPads, or whatever you've got now. And we're going to read from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18. And it'll be on the overhead if you've not got it. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Okay. So, the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken to the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife. But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. So this morning I want to look at Joseph. We normally pay a lot of attention to Mary, with good cause, but I want to have a look and just contemplate Joseph and his situation, really, and it's really, really interesting. So it says that Mary, in the scripture reading, Mary and Joseph were betrothed, which means they weren't almost just engaged in our sense. They were betrothed. They were legally promised to each other. There was a contract. It was pretty definite that they were going to get married. But just imagine the situation. You're betrothed to somebody. You're legally contracted to marry another woman, and you're Joseph. And then that person is found to be with child. And it doesn't say how it was found, but the community obviously had found that she was with child because she probably was showing. But the person you are about to marry, who you are legally betrothed to, is found to be having a baby, which is not yours. How would you feel? How would you feel? So scripture says Joseph finds out. And how would you feel? It says that Joseph, being a just man, was unwilling to put her to shame. Being a just man. So this is before the angel has come and talked to him. And being a just man. So what does a just man mean? Well, if you're a just man, what do you do? You do what is right, yeah? You maybe follow the rules, you follow the law. But I just want to think about Joseph. How would you feel if the person that you're about to get married to is found to be pregnant? Well, how do you think that would make you feel? You would feel disappointment, wouldn't you? How disappointed would you be with that individual? Yeah, and you'd be disappointed by the fact that you're not getting married. Yeah? Just the sense of the disappointment in the person and in the situation. He must have been gutted. Absolutely gutted. He would have felt betrayal. How dare this person that I'm betrothed to marry, has gone and had an affair with somebody else, and is now pregnant. How would you feel? Pretty bad, that, isn't it? Yeah, you'd be gutted. You would be devastated, because potentially I propose that Joseph probably loved Mary, even before they were married. And you would be heartbroken, wouldn't you? Has anybody ever been heartbroken? One of the most excruciating pains that you can ever experience. But Joseph would have been heartbroken. He would have been devastated. He would have had a broken heart because the woman that he was going to marry is pregnant with a child. What about embarrassment? So the whole community knows, or a lot of the community knows, that the person that you're going to be married to, betrothed to, is pregnant. How would you feel? How would you feel? Poor lad. When I started thinking about it, I thought, poor lad, that is harsh. That is a harsh situation. So naturally, another emotion, you might think, hold on, I want vengeance for this. She's gone. She's got pregnant, not with me. I want justice. And it says he's a just man. I want justice. Justice. How would you feel? It's pretty bad, isn't it, really? Yeah, if you've ever been in any of those situations, that is bad. It's a bad feeling. You'd be gutted. But it says Joseph was a just man. So he favoured justice. And he was a righteous man who followed God's law. Well, in this situation, what was God's law? What was it? He's a man of justice. So what was the just thing to do? Well, it tells us in Deuteronomy 22:23, it says, if a betrothed virgin and a man meet in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both to the gates of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. So let me read that again. This is the just thing to do. This is the law according to the scripture in Deuteronomy. If there is a betrothed virgin, which is Mary, and a man meets her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. That's what it said. He was a just man. That was justice. That's what the law of God said. What did he do? Did he do that? It says Joseph was a just man. Which law did Joseph follow? So has he broken the law? Because that's, he didn't do that to Mary. What's happened to her? This is the law that Joseph followed. This is the law. Deuteronomy 6:5. This is the overarching law. Yeah? And Jesus said, what is the most important thing in the law? And Jesus' answer was, and he takes it from Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Who is your neighbour? Who is your neighbour? Somebody asked the Good Samaritan, yeah? Who's your neighbour? Your neighbour is the one who needs mercy. The law of God is mercy and grace. Which law did Joseph follow? Did he follow the law, the rules and regulations, or did he follow the law of grace and mercy and love? And I would say that is why he was a just man. He was just. Yeah? Mercy is when you withhold from people what they deserve. And that's exactly what Joseph did to Mary. At this point, remember, he's not seen the angel, he's not seen the vision. He was a just man because he was merciful and he was gracious. From Joseph's perspective, Mary's got herself into trouble. It's her own fault. She deserves everything that she gets, in fairness. But Joseph follows the law of mercy and grace, and he was a just man. Which law in your life do you follow? Do you follow the law of rules and regulations, or do we follow the law of mercy and grace? Are you just? Which law do you follow? So Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, it says, resolved to divorce her quietly because he was a just man. So Joseph does the right thing, yeah, the just thing, but it wouldn't have felt good. It wouldn't have felt good. It would have been a difficult thing to do, because actually he probably felt vengeance and anger, and he was cross and he was all brokenhearted and all these things. He did the right thing, but it didn't necessarily feel very good at that point. And it goes on in verse 20 of Matthew 1, it says, but as he considered these things. So he sat there, bring the picture up. I found an old picture. So Joseph would have been sat there pondering over everything that had happened. Yeah, it says he considered these things. And actually the Greek suggests that actually the English word would be he fumed on these things. He sat there fuming about it. He'd done the right thing, but he considered it and he was fuming. He must have been angry at Mary. He must have been angry at God. He must have been fuming. Yeah, have you ever done that? Have you ever sat there and think you might have done the right thing, but you're still fuming and angry about it? Has that ever happened? And that's what he did. He said he considered these things, suggesting he mulled over everything that would happen, and it's suggesting he's fuming, just really angry. Even though he's done the right thing, he's angry and fuming about it. Has there ever been a time where you've been angry and fuming about something, even though you've done the right thing? Yeah? Even though it's difficult. There's many stories. I've done many stupid things, but one of the things I did many years ago, I was about to be made redundant. And so I got the opportunity. I applied for a job for Christians Against Poverty, which in my eyes would have been a great job for me to do. I could have done it. I would have moved to Bradford, whatever. And I went, did the interview. I thought it was God ordained to do it. God ordained. It was all, it was God's plan for me. And I didn't get the job. And I was fuming about it. I was like, God, it feels like I've done the right thing, but I'm fuming about it. I'm fuming about it. Have you ever done something for God and still been fuming about it? There's many other stories like that where, oh, many times I've been fuming at God. Back to Joseph. Then this happened. This is what happened. So behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophets. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Even though it was really bad for Joseph, even though the situation, there would have been disappointment, God was working in that situation, and God is sovereign. And the thing that I think Joseph knew was, God is good. He knew God is good. In that desperate situation for Joseph, where he would have been so angry about it initially, where his person is due to marry, he's found with child, yeah, God has the plan for the salvation of the world in that. And God is good. Yeah? In your disappointment, God is self-sovereign and God is good. Do you trust that God is good? The message of the angel is, do not be afraid. The urban myth in Christianity is that apparently in the Bible there's 365 do not be afraids, one for each day of the year. Yeah, that's not true. There isn't 365 by do not be afraid, but it is there hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Do not be afraid. That's the angel's message. Whatever situation you're in, whatever disappointment you're in, whatever difficult things are happening, if you follow God, if you are just, if you are gracious, if you are merciful, do not be afraid. Do you believe that? Yes. Why don't we be afraid? Because our God is good. Yeah, in whatever situation, whatever, do not be afraid. What does Joseph do next? When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth, and he called his name Jesus. Do you know what he did? He trusted God. In the disappointment and the difficulty and all the stuff, he trusted God. He was faithful and obedient. Do you remember a few months ago we did God's love languages? Yeah? God loves when you are faithful and you are obedient. Yeah? He trusted God because he knew God was good. So he did it. God came to him in a dream. Have you ever had a dream? Justin, I know you've had a dream, yeah? But if God comes to you in a dream, believe it. Yeah, God is good. The situation for Joseph hadn't changed. He still had somebody he was about to marry who had a child that wasn't his. It was God's, it was the Holy Spirit, but it was still a very, very difficult situation. But Joseph must have been a great man of faith. A great man of faith. And that's why God loved him. Is God asking you to do anything difficult? God is good and God loves faith. God loves faith. Do you know what? Joseph was an ordinary bloke. And all, he was a carpenter and he was an ordinary bloke. God doesn't use extraordinary people. He uses ordinary people who trust him, and then he's an extraordinary God. And he uses ordinary bloke, this guy who made stuff with his hands. Yeah, he weren't a solicitor, he weren't a king, he weren't clever, whatever. He was a man of faith and obedience, and he was an ordinary bloke with an extraordinary God who is good. And he trusted him. And God entrusted that man to be the father of the Saviour of the world. He must have been so courageous as well. What kind of stick do you think he would have got in his hometown? Yeah, have you ever actually, I started thinking about it. At the census, apparently, they take Mary, well, it was normal for the head of the family to go. He wouldn't have taken his wife. So Mary, you know, Mary and Joseph travelled to Bethlehem. Why did he take Mary with him to Bethlehem, pregnant? Because they would have lynched her. They would have taken her and they would have stoned her. So what a courageous guy. He's the hero. We need God's Holy Spirit for all this stuff. I want to ask you, which law are you following? Are you following the rules and regulations, or are you following the law of grace and mercy? Are you just like Joseph? Do you do the right thing? Are you filled with disappointment and sadness and anger over a situation, even if you've done the right thing? God is sovereign. God is good. Joseph held on to the promise in that dream all his life. It must have been so easy for him at any point to go, do you know what, I'm not so sure today. Actually, I might have not had that dream. Actually, maybe she did do something. He held on to the promise of God all his life. Are you holding on to the promises of God that God has given you? Yeah? What a man of faith. Do not fear, said the angels. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? And you know what? God doesn't use superheroes. He uses ordinary people and turns them into superheroes. You do not have to be a superhero to follow God, because he provides us with your Holy Spirit to fill you with the power to do it. And you know what? God is good in the disappointment and the difficulty. I'm going to end there. But poor old lad, poor old Joseph. Yeah, that was harsh. Yeah, but he trusted God. And God uses ordinary man to be an extraordinary surrogate father for his plan for the Saviour of the universe. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you are good. Lord, we just send more of your Holy Spirit through disappointment, difficulty. Lord, we just ask for your Spirit. Lord, give us more faith. Give us more obedience, Lord. Fill us with grace and mercy. And Lord Jesus, more than anything, may we have an understanding, like Joseph must have had, of your goodness. You are good. You are a good, good God. And you love us. And we give you all glory, and we give you all honor, and we give you all power. Amen.